Let's ask the Lord's help. Our loving God and our Father, we give thanks for the opportunity that we have to be under the sound of thy word again. We thank thee for the happy time we've had together, the much encouragement. We thank thee for the readings that we could understand and profit from. And we think of the ministry that we have received as well for the happy remembrance this morning, Lord Jesus. We give thanks for thy love for us. Thank thee for the gospels that we've heard and the children's meeting too. And now we would just ask that thou will help in this last meeting, that we would all be encouraged on our pathway, that we would desire more to serve thee, Lord, to honor thee in this world, to represent thee here. And Lord Jesus, we wait for thy soon return, and help us to go on faithfully until thou dost come. We ask for help now as we open thy word, that we may benefit from thy word, what was written so long ago, for our learning, for our admonition and comfort. Give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to begin by asking a question. And the question is for each one of us, whether we're a child or a young person, whether we're an older one. And that is, why did you come? Why did you come? And then I guess another little question to follow on with that. The reason that you came was that, did you achieve the purpose for which you came? In other words, why did you come, and were you satisfied that you did? I'm going to tell you why I came. First of all, I came for the Lord because I knew he would be here. And I wanted to learn more about him. I came for my wife. And I came for my boys. That's why I came. Because I wanted my wife to learn more about the Lord Jesus too. I wanted my boys to be encouraged to follow him. And I came because I knew that there'd be more people that wanted to be encouraged too. And I wanted to be with you, my brethren. There's one other thing. In Rideau Ferry, where I live, I have the responsibility to read the correspondence that comes from other assemblies. I look forward to the Blue Water Conference invitation. It's fun to read. It's different from any other invitations we get all year. But it's real. There's people that are really encouraged just by the letter. I can tell you that because I'm encouraged by the letter. But there's young people and kids that really like the letter too. This year was particularly special to my heart because, you know, we have troubles and difficulties in our life. Things don't always go the way we want them to. And you know what? The door was kind of closed at the beginning, and then the Lord made a way. I love that expression. The Lord made a way. He does for all of us, whether we're children, whether we're young people, or whether we're older folks. The Lord makes a way for us. He helps us through our life. What an encouragement. A couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was sitting having my reading in the morning. And Carrie always makes me a cup of coffee. And so I read with her, and then I read for myself, and then I go to work. I was sitting reading Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'd read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And those are the first five books of the Bible. You say, of course they are. But it's something that I just sat there and I thought, you know, this man Moses was incredible. I did a little research. I'm not too good on the technology, but I try. My family doesn't think I'm that great, and I'm not. But I know how to search my Bible application. And so I searched how many times Moses is recorded in the scripture, that name. And it's hundreds of times, nearly 800. So I said to myself, well, I wonder how that compares with Abraham. Well, it's three times more than Abraham. And you think about it, it's like, really? But then you put in the Apostle Paul. It's many times more than him. The Lord Jesus, the name Jesus, of course, is more than Moses. And it needs to be. He's our Savior, but he also needs the preeminence in everything. And he has it in the Word of God, even in references to his name. In this conference, there's been a couple of references to Moses. Our brother Bob made one in the reading, and then we had something from Barry last night on Moses. I want to take it up a little bit different. I want to start in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Well, before I do, I want to talk a little bit about Moses' name. And it means drawn out. And we know the story how that Moses was put in the water of death. And you remember the story of how Pharaoh's daughter came along and she saw him in the basket and she took him for her own son to raise him. But his name means drawn out. And each one of us, boys, girls, this is for you. What a privilege you have to come to a conference like this, to sit in a children's meeting, to sit in gospel meetings, drawn out, taken out of this world and given the opportunity of great blessing. You know, there's somebody here tonight, and I'm going to tell another story here. I was sitting over here the whole conference, and at the gospel meeting, there was a couple of kids up on the front. And I'm sorry, but one of the boys wasn't paying attention. You know, that hurt my heart. The gospel's being presented, and people don't care. They don't care about going to heaven. If there's somebody here today and you're not going, you need to go. Hell is real. You know, have you ever thought about a lake of fire where there's darkness? Swimming in the dark flames? Children, don't go there. The Lord Jesus has been presented as the Savior. He'll take you out of those waters of death, like Moses was taken out of those waters. You know, I've thought about it this way. Think of the crocodiles that were in that river. They would have loved to have eaten that boy. But he was delivered. There's crocodiles, kids, that want to eat you. The devil wants to take you to hell. Don't go there. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if you were that boy that was sitting up there not paying attention, accept the Lord Jesus now. Don't wait. We heard about a little boy this morning. He never got home. We heard about a 18-year-old lady. She never got home either. A lot of us have a long drive to go home. There's a lot of highway and a lot of tires and a lot of things that could happen before we get home. And if you're not saved, get saved now. That's the message with Moses. Moses was delivered from the waters of death. What a wonderful story. Luke 24. Luke 24 is one of the dearest chapters in the Bible to me. Because I need Luke 24 when I'm discouraged. When I'm going away in my heart. You may look at me and say, everything's fine with you, Paul, but you can't see inside. There's times where I need to be encouraged, and only the Lord can do it. Let's read just one verse for the sake of time. Verse 27. We know the story of how these two were going away. The Lord walked with them. He went in to tarry with them in the 29th verse. But let's talk a little bit. Let's read verse 27. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Where did he start? He started at the beginning of the Bible. The books of Moses. And it says, beginning at Moses. I've thought about that. You know, Moses was special to God. You know, we can read about him in his father's house in Acts chapter 7. We can read about him in his mother's house in Exodus. We can read about him in the Hebrews 11 in his parents' house. You know, there's an expression that he was beautiful to God. And let's remember that's the perspective that God has upon each one of us. You may say, I'm not that important. Yes, you are. You're beautiful to God. And don't ever forget it. You are beautiful enough for God to send his son to die on the cross for you. That's how beautiful to God you are. So he began at Moses. And when we think about those books of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, Moses would, with the Spirit of God, pen those words, tell the story of the when Abraham took Isaac up to the mount. That beautiful chapter that we've enjoyed so many times, where the father and son went, both of them together, but there was a substitute for Isaac, wasn't there? So many pictures in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus and what he did. I'd like to turn to Psalm 90 now. Carrie and I are reading through the book of Psalms together. We didn't read this psalm so long ago, but we read the little line at the top of some of these psalms. This one says in Psalm 90, it says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Now in some of the books you might read, you might find out that 91 perhaps is attributed to Moses as well. But it doesn't say so. But this one does. And I want to read a little bit about what Moses wrote. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I want to say at the beginning, Moses had a tremendous respect for God. Each one of us needs to have a tremendous respect for God. We need to have that in the way we live, in all the things we do. We need to respect the Lord. But the depth of his respect is incredible to me. I've never had the types of thoughts just flow out of my soul like this. From everlasting to everlasting. This is incredible. To realize the eternality of God. He had tremendous respect to God, and he wanted to serve God, and he recognized that his people were the people of God, and that for generations before, and if the Lord will, for generations after, those people would be blessed, and he was a part of it. Now, what does that mean for you and me? It looks like this, I think. We've had tremendous blessing in our families. Some have gone on for the Lord, and some have not. I pray for the ones in my family that aren't saved, and there are some. But those of us that are here today, there's been those in our families that have gone on before that have been faithful to the Lord. It's resulted in our blessing. And let's go on faithfully, brethren. We affect other people. Our kids. Our brothers. Our sisters. Let's help wherever we can by going on ourselves. Now we'll drop down a little bit in the chapter. Verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit, but one of the things that's been an impressive thing to me is to realize that, like Barry said last night, Moses was 120 years old when he passed. 120. He pens this right here. It says 70 years and 10. That's 80. He went way past that. You say, well, how was that possible? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But God had a work for him to do. And so we can understand this verse. You know, at the retirement home I go to, I met a lady last week. It was 106. 106. Nice lady. Could communicate. But in a wheelchair. Very weak. But she was 106. Moses was still strong at 120. The power of God. Well, I just was interested in this verse because Moses penned these words, this verse, but he outlived it by 40 years. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 7. I'm going to put out a little thought to people here for more meditation, and that is that in this chapter, we learn things that we don't read about in the Old Testament. Now, what's interesting is that Stephen was giving his defense to the religious authorities of the day. If he'd have made a mistake, they would have called him on it. And so what's given here is the Word of God, but it's also right. But there's more truth given here that we don't read of in the Old Testament. We're going to touch on that a little bit, some of these things today. Let's read from verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he is supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye be brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? And he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. So there's a long period of time that happens between verse 29 and verse 30. 40 years. But there were some changes that had to occur in this man Moses so that he could be useful to God and a blessing to the people of God. We're going to talk a little bit about them, but I want to notice verse 22. Because verse 22 tells us some things that we don't read about in the Old Testament. Says here, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Now remember, the Egyptians knew how to make pyramids. They knew how to make a lot of things. They were good at engineering. They were smart people. So Moses had learned a lot, and he was a smart guy. And it says he was mighty in words. He could talk well. He wasn't afraid. He could get up there and make it happen. Why? Because he'd been schooled in it. And he was good at it. And it says in deeds. He did things that were impressive. You know, you can think of things that you've done that maybe are impressive. That's good. That's a good thing. We can do impressive things. But were those the things that were impressive to God or to men? The things that are impressive to God are more important, are what's really important, right? Okay. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Because there was a change that happened. But let's remember that 40 years had gone by. 40 years before, when Moses left Egypt, it says he was mighty in words and in deeds. So let's turn now to Exodus chapter 3. We'll read a little bit here just to get the context. I think a lot of us know it pretty well. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and so on. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And then let's drop down to verse 11. Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Well, let's turn over to the fourth chapter, 10th verse. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. 40 years later, Moses is a different man. He's not eloquent. I am not eloquent. He said to the Lord that he couldn't go. You know, that's the type of person that the Lord could use. He tried to do it on his own strength. And we know the story of how 40 years before he had killed that man, that Egyptian. God wasn't happy with that. He'd murdered a man in his own strength. 40 years later, the Lord says, okay, it's time to go to deliver my people. And Moses said, I can't do it. I'm not eloquent. I can't talk. When he left Egypt, he could. He was mighty in words and in deeds. Something had happened. He had spent 40 years with the Lord. He was humble, not proud like he had been. He'd had 40 years in the middle of nowhere, but he was with God. And the result had been tremendous blessing in him so that God could use him for the blessing of God's people. Sometimes it may seem that our life is a little bit tough. Maybe a little bit slow. Maybe it's not what we wanted. But you know what? Maybe the Lord's using it because he has a purpose for us ahead. None of us know what's ahead. Only the Lord knows. But the Lord knows how he may want to use you for him. And may each one of us be willing to go. Moses really wasn't willing. And so Aaron had to be introduced into the equation. And you know, if you read through, there's a lot of sorrow that Aaron brings Moses through the years, the 40 years that he served God's people in the wilderness. So let's be willing so we don't have trouble as we seek to serve the Lord. Now let's turn back to Acts chapter 7. We'll read the next part in that portion that Stephen was talking about Moses in. So let's read in Acts chapter 7, verse 30. So now let's remember Moses is 80 years old now. And we read in Psalm chapter 90 that if by reason of strength we get to 80, we're going to have sorrow and difficulties, right? Now Moses is there. He's 80. When 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And he brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. We'll go quickly through this because we don't have lots of time. In the 15th chapter, we have the first one of Moses' three songs, and you can read about the other two at the end of Deuteronomy. But this song in chapter 15 was a song of deliverance. They'd just gone through the Red Sea. And so they'd had a tremendous victory over the Egyptians. But they were in the wilderness. And they were hungry and thirsty. And they started to complain. And so the result was that God sent manna. First he sent quails. But then he sent manna for his people. You know, when we think about, when we read about in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, we read lots of stories of the shortcomings of the people of God. And we are the people of God and we do have a lot of shortcomings. We need to be humble before the Lord. But Moses was a tremendous leader. But he went through a tremendous amount of trouble with the people of God. You know, how would you like to be the leader and have a million people or so? I don't know how many there were exactly. But say there was a million or 2 or 3 million people all complaining because they were thirsty. Or they didn't have enough food to eat. That would be tough. And God had told Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And he provides now for God's people. And so each one of us has a responsibility in whatever the Lord has given to us. It's not easy, and there's difficulties, but the Lord provides. He'll provide. But we need to be dependent upon him, and I believe Moses was. Now in the 17th chapter, verse 1, they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, and so on. And it says they murmured again. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by our flesh by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Think about the feelings that you would have if God had given you something to do and the people that you were trying to help were rebellious and saying these kind of things. "You're trying to kill us." Must have been so hard for Moses. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we read it at the end, some verses. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." So on, I guess I'm on the wrong page. So it's chapter 17, 5. "The Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." So he takes the rod, he smites the rock, and the water comes out. And we've enjoyed the picture of the Lord Jesus and how the water of life would flow from this one who was smitten for us. So there's so many pictures that we can enjoy in the Old Testament. So when I think of those verses that we started with, in Luke, how the Lord talked about himself in the books of Moses, this is maybe one of the examples he gave. Then let's go to Numbers chapter 12. This is the verse that Bob spoke about, Moses being the meekest man. Verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. 40 years before he sure wasn't. But many years later he was. This is the work of God in our souls. But I want us to think about it this way, and that is that here's another situation in the life of Moses where people gave him a rough time. He'd married an Ethiopian woman. You know, in studying this subject, there's a number of situations where there's a Gentile bride introduced for blessing. This is one of the examples of this in the scriptures. There's a number of them, I think 7. You can search this out at another time. That's not our subject today. Let's turn over to the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter, we know the story of how they were about to go into the land at the beginning of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And he sent spies in. And so they'd come back, and only 2 of them had a good report. And 10 of them said, we can't do it. How do you think Moses felt when he heard this? That these 10 men said, we can't do it. The people are too big. We saw the giants. We can't do it. Thankfully, Caleb said, yes, we can. And Joshua was faithful too. But can you imagine how Moses felt? Then in the next chapter, this is one of the things that's been so impressive to me about Moses. Let's read from chapter 14:10. So here the story was that these guys, these 12 had gone in. 10 of them said, we can't do it. Only 2 said we could. The people wanted to go back into Egypt. They rebelled against God. And so it says, verse 10 of 14, all the congregation bade them stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Now this to me is so impressive, because Moses had the opportunity to say, yeah, you're right, Lord. These people are stiff-necked, rebellious people. Get rid of them and make of me a greater nation. Yeah. Make it for me. My family. Yeah. Did Moses do that? No, he didn't. We only have a couple more minutes. Maybe I'll just explain what happened. But he interceded for the people of God. To me, this is absolutely beautiful. These people that had given him so much grief and trial, Moses is like, no, Lord, you can't do this. You can't destroy thy people. What are the Egyptians going to think? What are the nations around going to say? That, Lord, you couldn't bring your people into the land? And so Moses interceded for the people of God. Do we do that? Our brethren aren't perfect, and neither are we. But guess what? They're beautiful to the Lord. Let's not forget that. Let's intercede for our brethren when we can. Let's turn to the 20th chapter. In the 20th chapter, a lot of time has gone by. This to me is a very sad story, and we don't have time to read it. But once again, the people are complaining because they don't have anything to drink. Moses takes his rod and he hits the rock twice. And the waters gushed out and there was plenty of water for all the people to drink. But Moses disobeyed. God had told him to speak to the rock because the rock had already been smitten. We read that. Moses takes his rod and he hits the rock and he says, "Ye rebels, must I get you water out of the rock?" Who provided the water? It was God. Let's not lose our patience with our brethren. Let's be kind. Let's realize that God is the source of blessing. Well, we'll just end with a few thoughts on the end of Deuteronomy. If you turn to the 34th chapter, thankfully Barry read this last night, so I don't have to read it today. But it says here, Moses was, Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. You know, that lady that I saw that was 106? This is not true of her. But it was true of Moses. 120 years old when he died. And what's really special to me is in verse 6. It says that God buried him. God buried him. And nobody knows where his grave is to this day. Verse 6. Why? Because God didn't want the Jewish people to go and have a shrine over where his burial place was. It was a special place that only God knew. Was special because he had been such a faithful servant. Now I want to make a little point. I think this was right at the end of the 120 years. You go and read and find out what you think. Tell me if I'm wrong. We need to be faithful our whole life, brethren. Let's not give up at the end. Let's not have a big crash at the end. Let's go on faithfully. You know, we heard a little bit of encouragement for the older ones last night from Barry. I'm going to say it this way. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep being an example to us. We need it. We need your leading, your guidance. We need to follow your faith. That's what Moses represents, a faithful man. It says in verse 8, they wept for him 30 days. Well, we didn't get to it, and our time is gone. I'm going to leave you some homework. Your homework is to read Hebrews chapter 11. I got to read one verse. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just read one verse. 25. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense unto the reward of the reward. May we go on, brethren, for the Lord's honor and glory. Be preserved, but realize that the things of this earth are only temporary. The things above are eternal. And as I have said many times, in a million years, the things of this world are not going to matter. But the things that we have, their enjoyment of the Lord, the things we do for Christ, will matter in that day. So let's pray. Our loving God and Father, we give thanks for this little time we've had on Moses. The one that was drawn out of the rivers of death. We can relate to that. Those of us who belong to thee, Lord Jesus. Now we need help to go on in a way that's right. Not in our own strength, but to be humble before thee, our God, and to be faithful our whole life for thy honor and glory. And help us to spend time considering what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, how that Moses made a choice in thy presence, our God, a A choice that will result in his blessing for all eternity. To leave the things of this world in view of the things of God and of Christ. Help us to have the same appreciation and to follow his faith. And so we ask for a blessing on our brethren in this locality. Thank thee for the nice time we've had at the conference. Now we think of many of us heading home. We pray for journey mercies. We pray for a happy meditation on what we've had. And give thanks for all thy goodness, Lord Jesus. And most of all, we thank thee for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. Blessed God, we thank thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.